Let's bow our heads. Our Father, the creator and maker of every good and perfect gift, thank you that we're not going to complain no more.
Amen.
Amen.
But instead, we're going to come to each other as mature Christian adults.
Amen.
And we're going to drop the pettiness and we're going to lock up.
Amen.
And be connected. So that we can build the kingdom and tear the kingdom of Satan down.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for all things. Thank you. Now I pray that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue the things that you have for us to do as we go forth to do your will, to give you praise, to give you glory, to give you honor. We love you. And we thank you for what you're doing. It is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we do ask and we do pray. Our eyes, our minds, our ears, our hearts, help us to open them so we can receive the word today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, verses 32 and 33, just those two verses. If you're able, can you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? I'm going to be reading this from the King James Version and the NIV, the New International Version. I'll be reading this from two versions today. Firstly, the King James Version, which says this. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? From that same scripture, from the New International Version, the NIV, it says these words. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk today from the subject forgiveness helps the church become healthy. Forgiveness helps the church become healthy. C.S. Lewis, a theologian, says this. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Let me say that again. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive.
Yes.
In other words, what all of that says is forgiveness is a beautiful thing. It really is. But when you have something to forgive and you can't forgive it, then it's an issue.
That's right.
Then it's an issue. Many of us here have felt the pain, that type of pain before. Someone that you know, possibly a coworker, possibly your employer, your boss, a child, maybe your parent, maybe even your spouse. Even a fellow believer in the body of Christ has done you wrong in some way. Y'all gonna say amen? All right. Each of us sitting in here have been wronged in some way. Okay. Somebody did something we did not like to us that personally hurt us. No matter how hard you have tried to escape that recording that's in your head, there's this recording that goes on in your head. And it says this: I've been hurt. I'm justified in my hurt. That person that hurt me is bad news. And I'm not going to never trust that person again. In addition to the anguish and the mental anguish that we've got to put up, that we have to deal with, all right, that comes when somebody hurts us, there are some physical symptoms that come along as well. You get a heaviness in your chest.
That's right.
There's some tightening of the neck and the back muscles. Our teeth start grinding. The question then comes, how do you mend the hurt that you did not deserve? Then, when you were in the presence of the offender, the person that hurt you, you give them a clipped conversation, a fake smile, like as if it's going to break your jaw. You give this nervous laughter, and you give the lame excuses to try to get out of their presence. Well, let me ask y'all this. How am I doing so far? All right. And the reason I'm asking y'all that, because I don't know whether or not I've come close to describing a scenario of the aftermath of an offense. I believe I have. And the reason I think that I'm kind of good at describing it today is because I've had many, many stays at the castle of unforgiveness myself. I've had struggle. I've had to struggle with not being able to forgive somebody myself. All right, and watch this. Sometimes when you deal with that stuff, you got sleepless nights.
Amen.
And in addition to sleepless nights, like I said, you know, you get that heaviness, and you get that tightening in your body. You know, and sometimes you start, you know, grinding your teeth. You know. And you trying to figure out how you gonna fix all that. You want to figure out how to fix all that. Ladies and gentlemen, the issue that's before us, which is forgiveness, climbs into the very top of the mountain of the myriad of concerns that not just face us personally, but they face us in the church. We enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ because we need forgiveness. And once we are forgiven, we offer that message of forgiveness to others as well. Yet, unfortunately, there are those who have tasted the sweet fruit of forgiveness from God are lacking in the application of that same grace to those that we call our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I need to let y'all know, there's no points in this message today. So you're going to have to get your notes as you hear them. The great burden of the ministry which lies in just praying and or preaching and or in defending the faith against the attacks of skeptics, But if we're really going to deal with this burden, the real burden of ministry is in leading the body of Christ to love and to treat one another with dignity. Believe you me, ladies and gentlemen, learning to love is the consuming dynamic of any church's ministry. As the body of Christ grows, there is a tendency to lose out on the intimacy and accountability of the small group. When you're small, you got to get along. You have to get along or die. It would be absurd to think of a church split when there's only 10 to 15 people there. Unity becomes a problem when growth occurs and ministry grows more complex. When a number of decisions have to be made and it becomes too cumbersome and impractical for congregations that are growing as a whole to act on each need, problem, and ministry potential, then we have the fertile soil for conflict and hurt feelings. You and I, my brothers and sisters, are not unwise to the methods of the enemy. The enemy likes to come and sow seeds of discord.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Y'all know what some of those seeds of discord are, right? Well, just in case some of you don't know, I think I better call them out to you. The enemy comes and sows seeds of jealousy, division, and hate.
Yeah, talk about it.
If we are not individually careful, and if we are not corporately conscious, if we do not be wise, my brothers and sisters, to what's happening around us, we can possibly birth division in the body of Christ. And unfortunately, in some cases, that has happened. But when we find enmity present, we ought to know how to get rid of it. And how do we get rid of it? It's very simple. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is not optional for those of us who are Christians. If we reserve the right to wallow in our forgiveness, we will build around ourselves an impenetrable castle that will eventually bring injury to all of our human relationships, even those with whom we have no grudge. People who live in the castle of unforgiveness are as enjoyable as fingernails squeaking across the blackboard. People who live with unforgiveness, unfortunately, become bitter people.
That's right.
I think I need to say that again. When you get to the place, and I'm going to say it like this, when you get to the place where you cannot forgive somebody, you become bitter.
Yes.
Say what you want. You might say you happy. You might say you all right. You might say I'm better without that person. But deep down inside, there's some bitterness. And the bitterness is there because in all actuality, if you think about it, you're not doing what God has called and assigned you to do.
Amen.
And what has God called and assigned us to do, Pastor?
Love.
He's called us to love.
Amen.
Jesus gave, look, Jesus took the Ten Commandments and gave us two commandments. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, all thy strength. And then he said, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
I know I paraphrased it a little bit, but that's the word, yes.
Amen.
I don't know who this is for today, y'all. And I don't know why. I don't know why God put this on me.
Go ahead.
But today, I don't want nobody to be bitter.
Right.
I don't want to come to a church with his business. People who are bitter are at the point that they're failing at scripture at 2 points. Because they're not forgiving and they're letting their bitter root take hold. There are some that say these scriptural mandates are impossible to live by and are unrealistic. Well, I have to differ with that because I'm living by the word. And although it might be difficult yet to live by the word, I got some help to live by the word. And see, that's where real proof of who you are lies. Now, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he is with you, and he's with you in all things, guess what? No matter what's going on, Mother Hill, you can do everything the Bible requires you to do. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is resident in your life, some of y'all might not know what I'm talking about,
go ahead.
But let me tell you. If when you accept Jesus and when he comes and fills you with his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is just what it is. It's your helper. It's your comforter. And that's why it is important for you to have the Holy Spirit as your guide, as your keeper, as your director, as your help. Because guess what? You're not going to be able to run this Christian race by yourself. And even though you might have prayer partners, and I'm glad you got a prayer partner, because you need a prayer partner. All right? You need somebody that you need to call every so often and say, listen, I need you to pray with me. I need you to pray for me. All right? Even though we've got those types, you're going to need some spiritual help. And that's why it's important that we have the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, will help us, my brothers and sisters, with this thing of forgiveness. All I'm trying to say is, I want us to be committed to loving one another. If we're not committed to loving one another, despite our own many faults, because we all want faults. We all got something to say about something. But Ann Real told us today we need to stop complaining.
Amen.
Let me say this again. Not one of us in here is faultless.
Yes.
I got skeletons in my closet. You got a skeleton in your closet. Yes, you do. And don't think you better than anybody else, because you're not. We got to be committed, ladies and gentlemen, to helping ourselves, to loving one another. Because see, you can't say you love God whom you have not seen.
That's right.
And then when you come to church, you can't speak to me. We have to be committed to loving one another despite our many faults. We offer at best a paltry and an anemic witness of the mercy of God. How can we accurately represent a God of love and mercy when we are merciless in our treatment of one another? In other words, how are we going to represent God, who is a God of love and mercy, when we can't show mercy to one another? Our world groans under the estrangement from God. The Spirit grieves for those of us who are earning graduate degrees in unforgiveness and in bitterness. While gossip and comparison and condemnation and self-assertion and defensiveness and criticism and the like are the gifts of our Adamic sinful nature, I'm glad for grace.
Amen.
Somebody say grace.
Grace.
I'm glad for grace. Grace calls us to a level of life where such actions are nothing more than a bad nightmare from our past.
Amen.
Could you imagine what it would be like if Jesus had not gone to the cross for us? I need y'all to go with me for a minute. Go, come here. Not me. Y'all with me today? I'm done. If y'all was looking for all that hype today, I don't have the hype. I'm sorry. I don't have the hype today. Okay, another time. Okay, Dr. Forsman, another time, okay? I got to keep it real today, though. I got to keep it real today. Had not Jesus gone to Calvary,
Deacon
and Strowman, had not Jesus gone to Calvary, Deacon Man, had not Jesus gone to Calvary, Nathaniel, Lucille, if Jesus did not go to Calvary for us, we would be in a world of trouble. And here we are, all messed up, got issues, got stuff going on, got skeletons all up in our closet, okay? And watch this, we're trying to pull out a little speck.
That's right.
I'm trying to pull a speck.
That's right.
Out of Nate's eye.
That's right.
But I got a whole tree.
That's right.
Up in my eye. That's not going to work. God is calling us to forgiveness. And forgiveness helps the church to become healthy. Thank God that Jesus died on Calvary's cross, laid in the grave Friday and Saturday. But thank God early on Sunday, he got up from the grave with power. And said, I got the keys now.
Yes. All right. That's right. I got
the keys now.
Yes. Amen.
So Satan, it's just a matter of time.
That's right.
Before I come back here again and whoop you good.
That's right.
And I'm going to be fighting in the Lord's army.
Amen. Amen.
And we need to be fighting in the Lord's army. Watch this. An army cannot fight when they're divided.
That's right.
The army cannot fight when they're divided. Because pretty soon, the army will be fighting against each other. But the army, when it fights, it has to fight together. It has to be allies. It's got to be locked up, y'all. It's got to be locked. Forgiveness helps us in our body. And thank God that God loved us so much.
That's right.
Yes.
Despite and in spite of our wickedness.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
Our hatred,
yes.
Our complaining,
yes.
Our mumbling, our grumbling. He loved us.
Yes.
Even when some of us gave up on God,
he still loved us.
He still loved us.
Yes.
So much so that God sent his son. The Son gave his life.
Amen.
And he did that to save us.
That's right.
And I'm grateful that he saved me.
Amen.
All the more reason why. Because he forgave me.
Uh-huh.
I need to forgive my brother.
That's right.
All the more reason why.
Mm-hmm.
I need to forgive my sister.
All
right. All the reason why. I need to forgive you. Even if you wronged me so much so that it hurts so bad, and I still feel the pain. And I know it's not easy, but you know what? We've got to forgive. We've got to forgive. Give him praise.